Blog Talk Radio.
Prophetess Teresa from Kingdom Daughters International. We are here on this line ready to discuss or even to present, to even open your eyes and even to appropriate some things that God is saying in this season and in this time. I just want to encourage everyone on the line to just stay focused on the things of God. stay focused on what God is telling you to do in this season. You know, this is the season where we celebrate Christmas, and it is the holiday time that a lot of people allow different spirits to rule and to regulate their lives and opposed to what God is saying to them in this season. So I want to encourage you to know that there is nothing too hard for God, and we have to stay in faith. Stay in faith that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can think or ask, and it is, truly is, according to the power that worketh within you. You have the power. You have the anointing. It is resting inside of you. So I want to encourage you today just to let you know that you are the one that God has chosen to do such a thing as this in this season. So again, we're going to be talking about tonight being fit for the battle. Are you fit for the battle? Because it is truly a battle. So we must fight to stay spiritually fit. It's a fight to stay spiritually fit. You have to train yourself how to just be equipped to fight and not to give in, because losing is not an option with God. And you can allow yourself to win the battle spiritually by controlling what you allow in your ear gate, what you allow to see with your eye gate, and even what you allow to come out of your mouth, say your mouth gate. So I want to say to you that you win with God, you win with Jesus, you win with Yeshua, you win, you win. So we're going to fight to stay fit spiritually. And I'm so happy that you joined me and Kingdom Daughters on this evening. The good fight of faith. The good fight. My God, my God. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to lift up a word of prayer. But in the meantime, I'm going to just encourage you to get the word of God out. And we're going to be coming from 2 Timothy 4 and 7. To be spiritually fit, it requires spiritual discipline. So I'll give you a moment to get your Bibles out, open up your word, because we're going to sit down at the table and we are going to eat tonight. We are going to feast on the word of God. And as we go into a moment of prayer, I just want you to get your Bibles out and get ready to eat at the table. Well, Lord God, we come to you, Father, because we know, Lord God, that we need you. Father God, we understand that without you, there is nothing possible. But with you, Lord God, all things are possible. And in you we live, and in you we have our being. And in you, Father God, you are our all in all. So, Father, we ask you right now, Lord God, that you would come into our presence, that you would allow your Holy Spirit, Father, to rule, to guide, and to regulate us, Father God. It's all about you. It's all about your kingdom. It's all about your way, Father. It's all about what you said you want in this time and in this season of our lives. So, Father God, we ask you to lead and guide and direct us, renew, restore, and refresh us, Father God. And if there's anything, Lord God, that is in our hearts or even in our minds, Lord God, and even in our spirits, Lord God, that will separate us from you and from your will and from where you're taking us, Father, we surrender it all to you, and we ask you to forgive us, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to have us, Father God, to desire you more and more and more and more. And you are here in the spirit, Lord God. You're saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord God, we're tasting and we're seeing that you is good, Lord God. So we ask you, Father God, to draw us closer to you. Let us see your will. Let us see your purpose, your destiny that you have for us. Revelation, knowledge, illuminate this word, Father God. so that we'll be able to hear it. We'll be able to see it. We'll be able to fear it. We'll be able to know it, Lord God. And most of all, Lord God, we'll be able to taste your word. So in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask you to equip us so that we'll be fit for the fight, fit for the spiritual battle. As Paul encouraged Timothy, Lord God, allow us to encourage the listeners on the line via telephone line, via website, Lord, via internet. So in the name of Jesus, we cover these lines with the blood of Jesus. We cover our ear gates with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus prevail. And in the name of Jesus, as we go forth, we thank you, Lord God, for leading, guiding, and directing us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you, and I decree and declare that it is so. It is so. My God, my God. So I just want to ask you, if you wasn't with us in the beginning, that you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Amen. Amen. I thank all the listeners for being on the line. And I'm just blessed to even be able to expound on this word. I hope you have your Bibles, and I hope that you're ready. And I pray that you're prepared to eat and you're hungry, because the word of God says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And we do want righteousness in our lives, because we know that Jesus died on the cross so that we might live. And we know that he made us righteous because of the death and the burial and the resurrection, that he died on the cross for our sins and for this word to go forth. I read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and it reads, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not of me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. My God, my God. This is when Paul was charged regarding sound doctrine. See, we have to know that the word of God is the sound doctrine, and we can't believe every spirit, but every word that's in the word, it is for reproof and reproof, rebuke, exhort. It is to build us up in the word so that we'll know what's right and what's wrong. But Paul's death was near in this time. He said, now I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So we have to be fit for the battle. We have to be prepared for that day, because we do know that that day is coming. The word of God says the night is coming. We have to work while it's day. When night comes, no man shall work. And we have to work in the day of our lives, in the season that we're able to pour. We don't have time to waste. We have to not only be equipped spiritually, but we have to be able to pour into others to equip them. To be spiritually fit requires spiritual discipline. And Paul began chapter 4 by telling Timothy that the Spirit, through the word of God, has predicted a future time when some will abandon the faith. It's going to come a time when some are going to literally abandon the faith. And those who abandon the faith are hypocritical and liars. They pretend that they're spiritual, but their teaching is legalistic. It's legalistic of giving them away. However, if you do not spiritually sharpen yourself up, you can fall for those kind of teachers. And Paul was telling Timothy that he need to point those things out in the congregation and to continue to be brought up in the truth of faith and the good teaching that he had followed so far. So we can't fall by the wayside by false doctrine. We must be keen in the Spirit of God, and we must know how to discipline ourselves. Staying spiritually fit is a fight. And what I'm teaching tonight, Paul encouraged Timothy, and even you and I, with the fundamental thoughts to stay spiritually sharp. We have to be sharp. We have to have spiritual discernment. We have to be keen. Keen. And so that means that we have to sharpen up. We have to stay sharp. We can't afford to slip. We can't afford to be slipping and missing out on revelation when it comes forth. So we know that we have to take time out and study the Word and get into the Word. And so that when false teaching comes, that we'll know it. Brought up is a growth language. Physical growth occurs when our bodies receive the proper food, the proper nutrition, the proper exercise that is needed. But mental growth, it occurs when we apply our minds to learning. So we have to apply our minds to learn. And social growth, it occurs when we interact and share with people. That's social growth. But we're going to talk tonight about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth occurs, when does it occur? When we feed our souls the nutrients of the Word of God, when we exercise our spiritual gifts that God has given us, that brings spiritual growth. And when we're using our minds to apply God's Word to a daily life situation, you know, when something happened, apply the Word. What does God say about that? But we can't apply the Word if we don't know it. When we fellowship with people and with God in prayer and worship, it brings what? Spiritual growth. Those are the four things that I'm going to talk about. Spiritual growth will sharpen us up, and it will make us spiritually fit to fight the battle in this season and time. God is raising up prophets. God is raising up apostles. God is raising up pastors. God is raising up teachers. God is raising up evangelists. It is a season where you're going to see the fivefold come into the place of the spiritual administration, the governing body of the kingdom of God is going to get in place. So don't think it's strange when you start seeing things fly up by night, things come up. It's God. God's going to do these things sporadically. And don't be deceived and believe anything that's against the Word of God. So to help stay spiritually fit, there are certain things that we must avoid and certain things that we must do. And we have to keep that in our minds and in our hearts and in our spirit. First of all, like having nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. And we know what some of them are. you know, the little rabbit foot, bringing good luck, and don't cross over a line when you're crossing the street, that line, or don't cross a pole. But we got to train ourselves spiritual thoughts, train ourselves to be godly. You know, Paul began with what to avoid in the scripture, and it's the A clause, where, you know, Paul, in Timothy's day, it was popular to make up stories based on half-truth. These stories became popular and out of hand to the point where people began to believe them without checking the Bible. And this has become rapid. Paul say, have nothing to do with it. Why? Because it's disruptive. It disrupts. It poisons what is good, what's been said in the word. That's what, have nothing to do with it. Refuse it. It will disrupt your mind. It will cause you to even give thought to it. So certain things that the word of God, if the word of God doesn't say it, don't have any part in it. And if you hear a teacher that's coming against the kingdom of God, you got to try the spirit by the spirit. And even watch the fruit that that person or that teacher is bearing. And we have to stay spiritually fit in this spiritual battle. And it requires us daily to be disciplined daily and to say, learn how to say no to anything that's disruptive or will disrupt our spiritual growth. So we have to regularly remove disruptive things that will prevent us from walking godly. You know, like certain things that make you want to curse, certain things that will bring spirits up and out. So we got to begin to take authority over those things and train in the B clause of the seventh verse where it says taking responsibility for our growth in godliness. So you have to train yourself to be godly. Godliness is godly-like. And ever since we accepted Christ, God has begun a good work in us to conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, which God is commanded to do. He has committed himself to do this for us. His command on our lives will be fulfilled if we are willing. The word of God says that if we're willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. And we need to be willing to allow him to make us more like him. It's your responsibility and it's my responsibility to exercise and even to train in spiritual discipline and reading the word of God and praying and meditating on God's word and his work around us and even in us. So that's not our pastor's responsibility. That's not our teacher responsibility. That's not even the mother at the church responsibility. It's not even the choir director responsibility. It is our responsibility to get in the word, to get into prayer, to get into meditation. And it's good to have someone pray for you and intercede on your behalf and stand in the gap. But it become a time that you understand that you are equipped and qualified to do it. So I want to say to you, fulfill the things that God has for you to do in this time and in this season. Avoid anything that's going to pull you away from what God has said for you to do. Okay, some people say, I can't discipline myself to find a consistent time or every day to spend with God or even to get in the Bible and study or even to go to Sunday school. But yet, it's funny how the same people can discipline themselves to make sure that they never miss their favorite TV show or football game or a meeting they may belong to, a club or auxiliary. But they can make that. But one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Another way to stay disciplined is self-control. Ask God to give you self-control. And we show the evidence of allowing the Holy Spirit to run our lives by saying no to those disruptive and yes to those that will discipline us, and to be consistent with our times with God. And believe me, it differs in every individual. For many, it's in the morning. For others, in the evening. But however, you are mentally at your sharpest time, whatever time it is, that you can set aside to be in the presence of God. He'll meet you there. Because he neither sleep nor slumber. So any time is good for God. So we can activate the gift, the fruit of self-control, and saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to meet God at this time, and I'm going to do this at a consistent time, daily or weekly, or start somewhere. Start somewhere to discipline time, to discipline your life, to get into his presence, and be consistent with it. I've been an early morning person for a long time. You know, my father, he was an early morning person. He would get up about 4:30, 5 o'clock a.m. in the morning, you know, to get prepared for work. And then my mother, she would get up and she would make him breakfast. But even in that training, I didn't have to get up that early, but I would get up. And it's in me now. It's developed in me now. I would get up, and now I get up, and I get in the presence of the Lord. And that had to be developed based on me being consistent with doing it. And when I don't do it, I feel like I let God down. I feel like I need to get in his presence to sharpen myself up, because it's truly important that we stay spiritually fit for the battle. And how do we stay spiritually fit? By getting in the Word of God, by meditating on the Word of God, by praying, making it part of our daily responsibility. It ain't always about, I got to go to this service, that program. Sometimes we're busy, but we're not receiving what God want to give to us. So I just want to say, be encouraged to know, as long as you have life and breath in your body, that you are able to renew yourself daily and get in his presence, and you can sharpen it up. Remember, iron sharpen iron. And I began to get up a lot of times and look forward to God. Look forward to meeting him. Look forward to hearing his voice. Look forward to it. And I just enjoy being in his presence. And that's what time, my time with God and listening to him, through him, to his word, and silent meditation. It will cause me to grow and become stronger and sharp. And I just trained myself. So I just want to say to you, learn how to meditate. Learn how to meditate. Learn how to meditate on that word. You can take a scripture and just meditate. Just meditate. And that's what time with God is. Just getting that enjoyment. And you can listen to his word through silent meditation. and bringing your concerns and your praises to Him. Just enjoying His presence, training yourself to spend time with God when it's the quietest. When you are away from those things that disrupt you from being with God, like the TV, the computer, the radio, work, just claim those brief moments of solitude. Claim those brief moments throughout your day as being in God's presence. Just turn off the radio in your vehicle or listen to a message or uplifting music. Get in His presence. And maybe even well yourself off the TV and purposely spend that time that you will watch your favorite show. Not just some show, but your favorite show. And get in the presence of God and discipline yourself to do these things. And discipline is more than just doing things. Discipline began in the mind. So as Paul continued to command Timothy how to stay spiritually fit, he adds to him. To be spiritually fit, it requires being spiritually focused. See, Paul used the athlete as a comparison to spiritually training. For physical training is of some value. And true, it keeps us healthy. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The word godliness is profitable now and forever. We must understand it's so important that our minds are lined up with spiritual peace. Spiritually fit requires spiritual focus. The word value means profitable, beneficial. Paul said that physical training is profitable for some things, but we know good physical health is beneficial to our minds and our bodies. Good health encourages us to do many things, but not all things. Amen? Spiritual health is more profitable. Our spiritual health, it affects our everyday life. It's more profitable. Our spiritual health encourages us and enables us to handle all things that happen to us in life. From God's perspective, it's more valuable. We have to focus on what is more valuable for us. Physical health and financial health, two things that we focus a lot on in the United States. But it's beneficial for the present life, but not for the life to come. But to stay spiritually fit, we must choose to invest time and resources in that which earns us the most profit in this present life and in the life to come. And spending time with God through prayer and through the Word is very profitable in just so many ways. Let's just take a look at a few. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. 2 Samuel 3 and 21. Matthew 16, verse 16 through 18. And in these scriptures, God revealed Himself to us. When we spend time in the Word, God revealed Himself. God revealed Himself to Samuel through the Word of God. Okay, we're going to 1 Samuel 3 and 21. God revealed Himself. And in Matthew 16 and 16, verse 16 through 17, how did Peter know there was even a Christ, a Messiah? It's because he read the Old Testament. How did he know that Jesus was the Messiah? It's because he spent time with the living Word of God every day, and God revealed this to Peter. As he spent time with Jesus, knowing God is most profitable. It's the most profitable thing for us because we know Him by faith. We receive eternal life. a new quality of life now and the assurance of eternal life. What could be more profitable than that? We live this life, but there's another life that we're going to have to come and face and deal with. There's another life that we're not going to be ready for if we're not spiritually equipped. It is required. It is required. And how else is spending time with God's word profitable? And I want you to take notes of these scriptures. Psalms 119 and 11. 127. 128. 1 John 2 and 24. Preventing sin. Yes, sin will separate us from God. The word hide means to conceal for a specific purpose. God's word is profitable because if we hide it in our minds through memorizing it or even generally being familiar with it, it will keep us from sin and the consequential problem that sins will bring. Sin will bring problems. It brings problems. It brings separation. It will separate us from God. And we have to understand that when we separate ourselves from the Word of God, it will separate eventually from the will of God. So we just have to know, and even in the scripture where it's Psalms 119 and 11, where it says, I have hid your word in my heart. What? That I might not sin against you. That I might not sin against you. My God. My God. So, that means that we need to hide the word of God in our heart, that we might not sin against him. The word of God is powerful. And then Psalms 119 and 127, it says, because I loved your commandment more than gold, more than pure gold. That's the NIV version. So what do? We have to prioritize, prevent sin. Hide the word in your heart so that we might not sin against him. And how can we hide it in our hearts if we don't spend time with him to study the word of God? In 1 John 2 and 14, where it says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young sons, because you are strong, and the word of God live in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And so that means that when the word of God is in you, you can overcome some sin, and it's true. And that's the NIV version. So getting in his presence and studying his word, it will truly help us. And even yoking yourself up with others that love the word of God. And just a few of our memory verses had to with our speech. How often don't we sin with our words? But I know verses like James 1 and 19 and Ephesians 4 and 29 will help us listen more and say less numerous times. What does the scripture say in those verses? James 1 and 19, it says, my dear brethren and sister, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to become angry. listening and doing. We have to prevent sin with our mouths, prevent sin with what we say, and just listen. Just listen. And see what God has to say about it. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That is my benefit, that it may benefit those who listen." Excuse me. My God. My God. Powerful word. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. My God, if you talk so much, when you do say something of value, those that's listening, their ear gates are closed because guess what? We talk too much. So practice listening more. What is more profitable? What about prayer and spending time in His presence? Guess what? The result in satisfaction. Psalms 90 and 14. Spending time with God in prayer, it truly brings satisfaction. God is more satisfying than anything the world has to offer us, because God meets our deepest needs. He meets our deepest needs. You know, you can get satisfaction, but you can't truly be satisfied with the things of the world. Psalms 90:14 says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." And be glad all of our days. My God, my God. My God, my God, the word of God is just so good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Literally taste and see this word. God will meet our deepest needs. And when we're satisfied and our lips will glorify God, our lips will glorify God when we are satisfied. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Okay, catch the revelation. God is more glorified in us when we're more satisfied, when we are most satisfied in Him, my Lord. And when you are satisfied, you and I, when we're satisfied in God, because we're spending time in His presence, we talk about Him to others. We talk about the things we spend the most time doing and think about. Let's make sure it's God. What other benefit does spending time with God give us? What other benefits does spending time with God give us? We talked about satisfaction in prayer, God revealing Himself to us. It prevents us from sin. But guess what? It also results in joy. Woo! I'm a witness, I'm a witness, I'm a witness. I am truly a witness. These are benefits that God will allow us to receive when we get in His presence, when we get in His word, when we get in His presence. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Psalms 1:1-2. The word of God read, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful." Listen to this. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate. My God, day and night. My God, get it. But he delights is in the law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. For his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate, my God, day and night. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. My God, his word is good. Oh, taste and see. It will result in joy. Joy. Would it be incorrect to say that those Christians who grumble and complain that it mostly reveals a lack in their lives, the lack of spending time with God? And if you hear somebody murmuring, grumbling all the time, just encourage them to get in the presence of God. Tell them to spend time with God and just the word of God, and let the willingness to be in his presence, and let it change their hearts and let it change their minds. Because in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of God is good. The word of God is true. And godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. My God, there's joy in his presence. Unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. I'll tell you, when you get that word of God in you, and in, the enemy come and try to take your peace away, the word of God will come out of your mouth. Have you ever been in the presence of someone and you've seen the enemy trying to take their joy or take their peace away, and what's inside the word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My God, that word will start coming out your mouth, and it'll flow. Psalm 16:11 said, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I'm not just here to be talking. I'm here to encourage you. When the enemy tried to build up a standard around you, get in the presence of the Lord. Get in his presence. Jesus said that when we pray, believing that his power of our weapons, the power of his name, the power of his blood, is weapons that will slay the enemy every single time. And then when you got the joy of the Lord, and that is your strength, and then you're able to get into his presence. My God, people of God, understand that we got weapons to be equipped and qualified for this battle, qualified for this fight. Even though the enemy try to come and tear you down and beat you up and whip you and call you everything but a child of the King. But we have to understand that who we are in God, where we're going in God, our purpose, our destiny. Losing is not an option, because when we're equipped and qualified and full of his joy and full of his presence and full of his word, whoo, the enemy can't win. We win, because guess what? The greater one is within. And guess what? When the greater one is within, he will come out. So we want to spend time with God. When we realize that the results of being in his presence is joy, the being in his presence, the result is strength. Being in his presence will keep us from sinning. Being in his presence will bring us a more godly lifestyle. I mean, sometimes we go to church on Sunday and we don't pick up the word all week. A lot of us don't even go to Bible class. A lot of us don't even go to Sunday school. We go to church, but we don't get in the word. We're lazy when it comes to getting into the word of God. God has provided these conference lines. God has provided these blog talk radio shows. God has provided numerous avenues for us to get in his presence and even to start our own line. We're lazy. We say we want to, but we don't. There's so many people, so many souls that need what you got. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to be in discord. We don't have time to disagree over the small things, sweating the small things. It's time for us to get in the presence of the Lord. It's time for us to pour out and to pour in and to grow up and to be spiritually fit to fight in this season. Our minds have to be a wealth of wisdom. Our minds have to be a spiritual blessing of joy. Our minds have to be profitable to the people that we are around. Our minds have to be prepared, equipped, and qualified. We can't walk, we can't afford to walk around to be wimpish. We have to fight. We have to fight to stay spiritually fit. Pray in the spirit. Use your heavenly language. The word of God says, always pray with your heavenly language. Build yourself up. Surround yourself with people that love God. Surround yourself with people that truly are sold out for God. Pray, get in his presence. Jesus said that when we pray, believing that the power of his name enable answer prayers, then our joy will be full. Only the other hand, selfish prayers or lack of prayer result in no answers to prayer, which bring little joy. My God, my God. My God. You know, there's a prayer line, a 24-hour prayer line, praylive.com. You can call 443-524-9880, extension 7729, the word pray. And the owner is Wenda and Roy Roster. There, they have started the 24-hour prayer line. I want to encourage you. We must fight. This is a trustworthy saying. That deserves to be fully accepted. And for this we labor and we strive. Godliness is working on our sure hope. We got to have a sure hope. Not a little small hope, but a sure hope. A hope. Make our calling and our election sure. I'll tell you what, strive in the name of Jesus. Strive is the same as the Greek word fight. Ha, shatarabo koshe, fight. In 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy 4, where Paul commanded us to fight the good fight of faith, fight. We must fight against the enemy. We must fight against the devil attempts to disrupt the time we spend with God. We must fight against our sin desire to do what we want to do and not what God wants us to do. We must discipline ourselves to spend regular quality time with God, and we must be spiritually focused by reminding ourselves that only what we do for Christ will last. Only what we do for Christ is valuable to us now and even in our eternal life. Only what we do for Christ is profitable for now and then. Only what we do for Christ is going to build up the kingdom of God. Only the time that we allot and take time and make time to build up other people. You know, think it's not strange that these prophets are rising up. Think it's not strange that these apostles are rising up. Think it's not strange that these teachers, these evangelists, these pastors, I'm talking about people that love God, not for what the kingdom can give them, but what they can give to the kingdom. Don't hate. Congratulate. that God is raising up his people. God is raising up armor bearers. God is raising up intercessors. God is raising up his people. And we can't be slowful. We must fight the good fight of faith. We must fight, people. We can't afford to sleep. We can't afford to allow our minds to wander. We can't afford to allow our minds to think on these things that's not of God. Well, right now I'm going to lift up a word of prayer of everyone that even hears this teaching. That after you battle these things, that you're going to win the battle of your mind. You're going to win, and you're going to be fit to fight the spiritual battle. Thank you, Lord God. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, I cover every listener. I cover them, Father God, with your love and your power and your might. Father, I ask you most of all to cover them with the blood of Jesus. Allow the blood of Jesus to prevail, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that it will prevail. So in the name of Jesus, I thank you that there's a three-court that will not be broken. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, that we will hold on to you, that we will hold on to your will, we will hold on to your joy, and we will be focused on your kingdom. We will fight against the enemy attack to disrupt our time against our time with you. We will fight against sinful desires to do what we want and not what you want us to do. We will discipline ourselves to spend regular time with you, Lord God, and we will be spiritually focused by reminding ourselves, Lord God, that what is valuable to you, what is valuable to the kingdom, Lord God. You said in your word that those that win souls is wise. So I thank you, Father God, that the mantle is released upon the hearers, Father, that we will begin to win souls. We will begin, Lord God, to love and cry out for souls, Lord God. And it will not be about us. That in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. Again, this is Prophetess Teresa from Kingdom Daughters International. Meet me here next Wednesday, same time, same place. Check us out, www.kingdomdaughters.org, or you can go to our conference line on Friday nights, 219-862-1532, extension 7729, or the word pray. Remember, there's nothing too hard for God. I love you. Let the peace of God rule you and stay spiritually fit for the battle. God bless you and peace. To be godly, because godliness is godly-like. Amen and amen.